Today's reading is from Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29, the wise and foolish builders. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Amen.
So this is week two of our Reset series, and Kate's going to be talking about resetting our spirituality. Kate, it's lovely to have you preach to us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Kate, and Lord, we just pray your anointing on us all now. Lord, help her to preach the words you have put in her heart that will help us with our own spiritual walk. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. This evening, we are thinking about resetting our spiritual lives, taking a moment to step back and think what we would like our walk with God to be. September is a great time to do this. I'm always mindful of the quote about September from You've Got Mail. Joe Fox says to the other character that fall in New York makes him want to buy someone a bouquet of sharpened pencils. Well, do we have the supplies that we need for our spiritual daily walk with God that will enable us to thrive and grow in the months to come? I feel that this week has really starkly made me see that the pandemic is not going anywhere. And if I'm going to be able to cope, I need to be walking more closely with the Lord. And we're going to be thinking this evening about foundations. In the parable of the wise and foolish builder, we see the importance of foundations. It is the house with the firm foundations that is more able to stand strong and secure when storms come. These firm roots help to keep the house in place, and it doesn't take off, it doesn't fly away. And this means that that house is able to stand firm. And not pushing the house metaphor too much, but that house can then be a refuge to others who are facing their own storms. So let's think first about the problem with sand. The problem that can happen when we build our foundation on sand. Well, that is when our foundations are insecure. When the things that we have made the center of our life are not stable and lasting. And this can happen for two reasons. Firstly, perhaps it's about our identity. Our identity is built on something that's insecure. And secondly, it's that we're looking for our happiness from something that is insecure. It might be our job that gives us our meaning. We enjoy being important, having responsibility, making enough money to provide for our family. But what then will we do if we lose our job? Or if we're running a business and it goes through a time of financial difficulty, what will we do? Or if we're pursuing promotions that never happen? And what will we do when we retire? If everything that we have built is built on an occupation that is taken away from us, what will we do? Or it might be that we're building on our family or relationships with a specific person. And it's that that we're pursuing to give us happiness or to give us identity. Our status as a husband or wife, but then a marriage goes through difficulty. Or our happiness is based on being a wonderful grandmother or grandfather, but then our child moves further away and it's just that little bit harder to see our grandchildren. What then do we do? 2017 was a hard time for my family. I just hit 30, and my life wasn't what I thought it should be. It felt empty, and I thought I was alone. I wanted my identity to be a version of the life that I had planned for myself. I built my foundations on thinking that when that happened, I would be happy. But it hadn't happened. And at that point, I didn't have the foundations I needed to keep going. These things, relationships, jobs, hobbies, homes, friendships, they're all good, but we can only hold them for a short time. And although we love them, in many ways, they can fail and disappoint us. And in the parable, when the storm comes and the house is built like this, the house falls. We need to build on something certain and secure, something unfading, and something that is not related to our foundation, to our performance. I'm going to tell you a story from this year, and you'll think terribly of me, and I'm sorry, but I hope that you'll forgive me. Part of my identity this year was my ordination, which was meant to happen on July the 4th. I had it all planned. My friend Nancy Page designed these beautiful invitations. They said, and I realize this is now incredibly ironic, they said across the top, "It's been a journey." She'd drawn lovely pictures. There was a picture of my house in Bletchley. There was a picture of Wycliffe where I studied. And then there was a picture of this church showing the journey that I'd been on. I had them printed. I sent them out to 60 people. I booked a lovely pub called the Head of the River and went to chat to them about menus and how many people were going to be there and where would we be. I had the whole day planned. This was going to be my day. A moment when my achievements would be recognized. It's okay to laugh. I had terrible priorities. And then it went. One evening at the end of March, one of my tutors from college emailed to say, "Kate, I'm so sorry to hear about your ordination." And then I had an email that said I wasn't going to be ordained in July. And it was really hard. And I remember texting Will through my tears of disappointment that this moment that I had been planning had gone. And he said, "Do not worry. Your ministry will start as planned." And looking back, I can say to myself that I would have been much better at processing my disappointment if I'd had my foundation in the right place. If I hadn't been building my ordination around myself, but I had been building it around God. I'd like to tell you that actually this aspect of my life, I'm quite grateful for what God has taught me. And I hope you will forgive me for learning this. So we need a foundation that is stable, that is unchanging, that is secure. So let's think about a foundation that isn't rocky. How can we live differently? How can we build a foundation on something other than ourselves? Something that doesn't run the risk of being washed away? I think the best foundation that we can all build our lives on is Jesus. And in doing so, we're accepting our utter dependence, our need to have someone other than ourselves, someone who will walk with us through the darkest paths of life, and someone we can give the worries, the fears, the anxieties about the future, which for me are really swirling at the moment, and someone who will never leave us. And building our foundation on Jesus isn't based on our performance, because we've done nothing to deserve it. How different having Jesus as our foundation is than building it on our own self-sufficiency and ability to manufacture our happiness. Jesus will never disappoint us. Jesus will never leave us. Jesus will always love us, no matter how we perform. And in pursuing Jesus, we may find a sense of satisfaction in the grace he offers that helps us cope when the other aspects of our life are not what we would want. Deep roots placed in him may allow us to cope when the storms are raging, when our work is hard and relentless, when we're struggling with parenting, or we have a deep longing for marriage or our own children, or when a global pandemic hits and every aspect of our lives is taken away. So if tonight we want to spiritually reset, then we can root ourselves in Jesus. And doing that won't make our spiritual reset about an unimaginable to-do list. How many times have we told ourselves we'd like to get up earlier, spend an hour, well, maybe you don't do this, but sometimes I think to myself, oh, I should get up earlier and I'll spend an hour praying and I'll spend an hour reading the Bible. I've never once managed. Or I think I'd really like to read through all of the Bible, but then I get completely lost in Leviticus normally. Because spiritual resetting shouldn't be about rules. It can be about a person, the person of Jesus, who we can share our lives with. Some of those days in our life will be hard. Some of them will feel easier, but we will not be alone. John Newton said, "I am not what I want to be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I should be. But by the grace of God, I am not what I was." So if we're on this journey and we're feeling spiritually burnt out, spiritually distant from God, tonight, can I invite you to throw yourselves into the arms of Jesus? And as you pursue him, there are various things that you can do day by day which will help you in pursuing a closer relationship. I find Bible study every day is a great way for me to start my day. And I can always tell from my grumpiness if I haven't started each day with Jesus. Personally, I always use Bible study notes because I don't have a great concentration ability. And if you wanted to chat about Bible study notes, then do come and talk to me or Will at the end of the service. Another thing that we can do in our relationship with Jesus is we can talk to him through prayer. Every morning I get up, I let my dog out, and then we sit on the sofa together. We call it snuggle time. I don't call it snuggle time, but he obviously can't talk. I realize that. But in that time, it's a precious moment to start each day thinking about what's been and thinking about what's coming up, thinking about who the people are on my heart that I want to pray for, and then thinking about the various things I have in that day that are coming up that I want to share with Jesus. Sometimes I write things down, especially when I'm finding things hard, when I just need to pour my heart out to God. I also really recommend speaking to your friends about your walk with Jesus. And one way that you can do that here is by joining a connect group. That way you can be sharing the ups and downs. You can be seeking friendship, people who pray for you when you're finding things hard, and people who will love you and encourage you. I'd also recommend committing to coming to church Will spoke last week about how important it is to feel part of the body of our church. So whether it's coming in person on a Sunday or joining in online, that's a wonderful way to continue in your commitment to walking with Jesus. So if I was to sum up what I've tried to share tonight, I really would say, share your life with Jesus. Remind yourself of who Jesus is and look to him every day. Recently, I felt very let down by a Christian leader who I'd known and loved and respected. And at that moment, I felt God teaching me that we cannot put our trust in earthly things that will not last. And that may fail and disappoint us. And when I was struggling through that period, I discovered a verse from a song which I now listen to almost weekly. And in it, it says this: turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His words, they'll not fail you. He promised. Jesus' words will never fail you. When we walk with Jesus, we have certainty and truth in knowing him. And if you want to, tonight, take this moment to spiritually reset, then turn your eyes upon Jesus. Remind yourself of who he is. Speak to him. Share your life with him and tell others how you've been sharing your life with him.